Hello, I am in a quasi-public place, so there's going to be a little bit of background noise. I hope it's not a problem. I hope you guys are able to hear me, understand me, and it's not too distracting or annoying. So Parshas Balak this week. It's unlike any other Parsha, as far as I know, specifically because Balak and Bilam in this week's Parsha try to plot to kill us. They, you know, have this whole plan behind the scenes to curse us, and then Balak will be able to defeat us in war. But we know nothing about it. Most of the Parsha, except for like the last few psukim, take place totally outside of Jewish knowledge. We really have no idea about what's going on. Moshe happens to mention something in his speech in Sefer Devarim, but we don't really, if not for that, we wouldn't know anything about it. And in general, the whole Parsha really just takes place totally outside of, like, our nation's, you know, the Torah is usually about the Jewish nation. Parshas Balak is really totally outside of that. And the reason why I find it specifically problematic is because there's no doubt that every other nation that tried to kill us through, whether it was Pari and Mitzrayim or Sichon, Og, Amalek, the Canaanim, there were dozens of nations that tried to kill us during that time. We never really hear about the scheming that they did behind the scenes. There's no doubt that Sichon and Og had board meetings to figure out the best way to kill the people. The Midrashim talk about that. The Pasuk usually doesn't talk about that. We have a few psukim about how Pare wanted to destroy us, how he gathered his people and tried to see the best way to kill us, but we don't really get a full parsha about it, which is interesting. So why is there an entire parsha dedicated to this episode? That's question number one. Question number two, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud Tes, compares two people that otherwise you really would not have thought should be compared. They are Avram Avinu and Bilam HaRasha. It says, Kol mi sheyesh biyadei shleisha dvarim halalu, anybody who has these three things is from the Talmidim of Avram Avinu. If he has three other things, he's from the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. What are those three things? So if you have an Ayin Teva, Ruach Nemucha, and a Nefesh Shefala, a good eye, literally, I guess, a lowly spirit, and a, again, shuffle is like some other type of lowly soul. So the last two things pretty much mean that you're humble, that you don't really view yourself as large, you view yourself as fairly small, you're not really, you don't have things coming to you, and an ayin teva just means that you view the world through a good eye. Though, if you have those three things, you are from the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. If you have an ayin ra, Ruach Gavaya, or Nefesh Rechava, the opposite three things, right? A bad eye, or a tall spirit, or a haughty spirit, or literally a wide soul. It means like haughty, same thing, it's in both directions. So two dimensions of haughty. You could be tall and you could be wide. Those are the from the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. So you have Midrashim and Mishnayos that compare Haman and Mordechai, or Moshe and Amalek, or there's other examples of people that lived at the same time that were adversaries, that were fighting against each other. And, like, if you would have, like, if I was writing the Mishnah, I would say that really it would be, like, Avraham versus Nimrod, or Yitzchak and Yishmael. Like, you have people that, there are two people that either lived at the same time period, or they were waging wars against each other. That's when the Mishnah or Medrash will typically compare them. Bilam and Avraham, really, they never met each other. They weren't adversaries. They never really, they had nothing, they didn't really, there's no reason to compare them. So why is the Mishnah trying to compare them? So I think the Mishnah got this comparison from the Psukim, actually, because if you read through the Psukim of our Parsha, there are at least 10 different parallels between between Avraham and Bilam, this whole story. So I think that I wrote all of them out in the written email, but just a few. So basically, Og was Avram. Og was part of the war against the five and four kings. He was he played a part. Oh yeah, of course, yeah. Thank you. Og played a part in the war against the four and the five kings with Nimrod, went against Avram, and then he ran away. And when Light actually got captured in that war, it says Vayavai Hapalit, Vayagid Lavram Ivri, and then Avram came and got involved with the war at that point. And it's the Rashi says that Og was that Palit. He was that refugee that ran away that told Avram about that. And it almost seemed, and he was the impetus for this week's parsha, right? After Moshe kills Og, that's when Balak gets scared. And Moav also come from Light, right? Moav is the son that is born from Light and his daughter. If you look at the fight between Light and Avram, it was about food in the area, right? Their basically fight was whether there wasn't enough food for the cattle to eat in the area. They were fighting over food for their cattle. And here also, Balak uses very strange language about what he's nervous the Jews will do. He says, "Va'ata yilachechu ha'kahal es kol kavivei senu kol chaych hashar es kol yarek asada." It says that the Jews, they're going to literally like lick up all of the everything around us, all of the food around us, the way an ox does, right? So it's almost like a cattle-like comparison. Obviously, in both cases, blessing and curses show up. Our whole parsha is about blessing and curses. And Hashem famously told Avram, "Va'avarachem avarachechum kalolcha aar," right? That those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. And there's a few others. If you read through the written email, you'll see all of them. But there's some amount of comparisons between the two. So why is it that so very nice. The Mishnah is making the comparison between Avram and Bilam because the Torah did. But why did the Torah do that? What's the point? It's trying to teach us. So I think that the real answer lies in the overarching theme of this week's parsha, which is the last connection that I just mentioned, which is bracha and klala, right? Blessing and curses. If you look, Avram was told by Hashem, "Va'avarachem avarachechum kalalcha aar v'nivrachu v'cha kol mishpachay sa'adama," that I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. And I heard it explained, and I think this is the real, is the true pshat, that through that blessing and curse, the rest of the world will be blessed. Meaning, Jews are Jew as Avram's descendants, as the Jewish nation. Our mission in the world is to act according to the Torah, act according to Hashem's will, and the nations of the world will see us outside of that. They will see us from the outside, operating in that way. And they will decide whether they agree with us or disagree with us. And if they choose to bless us, if they choose to like say, oh, they're doing a good job, if they choose to acknowledge that we are chosen by Hashem to live by the Torah, then they will in turn be blessed. And if they choose to curse us, if they say that it's horrible people, what are you guys doing? You're barbarians, you're, you know, cruel people. If they choose to say that, then Hashem will curse them. And through that, blessing or the opposite or curse will come onto the nations of the world. Parenthetically, it happens to be just worth pointing out that regardless of whether or not, regardless of if you're doing the right thing, meaning even if Avram, or by extension the Jewish people, were doing perfectly exactly what Hashem wanted them to do, there will be those who disagree with you and curse you. It's just an interesting point. Just because people are disagreeing with you and cursing you doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. That's just, in parentheses, I think it's worth pointing out. So the nations of the world will be blessed based on how they react to the way that we act. But if you sort of get into the mechanism of that blessing, we don't decide who's blessed and who's cursed. The nations of the world decide on their own how they want to view us, right? If we're doing our job correctly and if we're living according to the Torah correctly, the nations of the world have a choice. They can see us as doing the right thing, or they can choose to ignore the fact that there's a God in the world. They can ignore the fact that we were chosen to live by the Torah. They can look at us badly, for whatever reason. And if they do that and curse us, then they will be cursed. But by the end of the day, each person in the nations of the world is responsible for whether he will be blessed or cursed based on how they view the Jewish people. But we're not deciding who gets blessed and cursed. We do our thing, and then their reactions to us cause them to either be blessed or cursed. If you look at Bilam, so Bilam has the exact same thing, bracha and klala, right? He was able to give brachas and klalas, but if you look at what Balak says at the beginning of this week's parsha, when he calls Bilam up and he says, "I want you to come help me take care of the Jewish problem," he says, "Ki yada, I'm calling you because I know, ki yadati, es asher tevarech mevarech, v'asher ta'ar you are. I know that those that you bless are blessed, and those that you curse are cursed." Now, Bilam had the capability, or at least he used his powers in a way that he decided who to curse and who not to curse. Actually, if you look in Rashi, Balak was appointed by Moav to be their king because they didn't really have anybody else, and the way he knew Bilam, the Moab as a nation knew Bilam because Bilam had been hired by Sichon Melech Amori to destroy Moab in the war that they had just waged. So Moab actually had been on the receiving end of one of Bilam's curses, and they turned around and hired Bilam. That was how their relationship started. So Bilam decided who to curse. He was like a mercenary, almost like a spiritual mercenary. If you paid him enough, he came and cursed the person that you wanted cursed. So it was almost like it was in his power. He decided who got blessed and who got cursed. But that's obviously not the way it's supposed to be. Hashem is the one who decides bracha and klala in the world. So it's very interesting that Bilam is coming at it from the wrong angle. And I think that this is the contrast that the Mishnah is Mishnah is laying out for us in Maseches Avos, because if you look at the theme of the traits that Bilam's Talmidim, and obviously Bilam himself has, they're all internal and self-centered, meaning to be haughty is obviously self-centered, narcissistic. It's when you think that you're the best thing in the world, and everybody else is lowly. Everybody else deserves less than you. And an Ayin Ra is the same thing, because your eyes are what see outwardly, and if you think that you're so great, then everything that you see is worse than you. So it's like it's an inwardly focused, I'm so important, I'm the center of the world, that type of a view. Avram's traits are the exact opposite. I'm lowly, not in a bad way, not even that I'm not deserving of things, I deserve things. It's not like a lack of self-confidence type of low. It's that whatever I have, Hashem gave me, and I don't really deserve necessarily all of it. It's not coming to me yet. It's not to be taken for granted, that type of a low. So that type of a mindset is an external mindset, an outward mindset, where other people could be better than me. You know, that's why he has an ayin tov also, because when he sees things, he sees people in a positive light, because there's nothing special about him. Hashem gave him gifts, and he uses them. That's it. So that, I think, is the difference between the two. And if you look at this week's parsha, so Bilam originally, like we said, gets called by Balak because of his own decision to curse people and bless people. And Hashem tries to convince him not to go. Rashi even says that the malach that blocked his donkey from coming was a malach of rachamim. He didn't want. He's like, I don't want to kill you. I don't want you to do the wrong thing. But he wanted to, and he wanted to, and he wanted to. So Hashem said, you know, again, like Rashi says, b'derech shadam reitzel leilich melichan. I say, he said, do you want to go? Go, fine. But just know, I'm the one who makes the decisions. That's what Hashem tells him. You're not going to be able to say anything that I don't want you to say. And in fact, he can't. He can't say anything that Hashem doesn't want him to say. And over again, he tries to curse, and he becomes a bracha. And he tries to curse, and it becomes a bracha twice. And in fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that it's not even like Hashem put random words in his mouth. The thing, he had a plan on how to curse us. He had things he wanted to say. And Hashem took those things and turned them into brachas. And at the end, it's interesting, the third bracha, this is where it almost got fixed, but it didn't, because at the third curse, when he ended up saying, Matevo Elach Yaakov, it says, Vayar Bilam ki toiv be'inei Hashem levarechas Yisrael, right? Bilam sees that it's good in the eyes of Hashem to curse the Jews. It says, V'loi, I don't know the pasuk in front of me, it says, V'loyetze likras nechashem, or something, I forgot the exact lashon, I'm sorry. But basically, he didn't try to, like, come up with a way to curse only to have Hashem foil his plan. He knowingly said, I'm going to bless the people. But Rashi, interestingly, says, when he says, V'loyetze likras nechashem, he says that he figured, he finally got it, he finally understood that each person decides their own fate, each person decides whether they're blessed or cursed, right? There's no way that he could truly curse or bless somebody. Each person needs to decide their own fate. And that point was when he gave Balak the advice to have the daughters of Mayav entice the people into being Mizana with them. And that was when he said that they're going to make a decision on their own to do an Avera, and that's going to cause their downfall. That's the curse that they're going to get. And it's a pity, because Bilam was so close to realizing the truth about Avraham Avinu, that the way to get people to be blessed or cursed is by their own actions, to be a role model for other people. And in fact, in the last bracha, he says about the Jewish people, he says, Mevarachecha baruch va'arerecha arur. Same thing, he finally understands that that's our power of the Jewish people. But he was still so evil that when he realized that, he said, oh, he still wanted to curse us so badly, but now he just sort of figured out the rules of the game. And now he was able to use our Averas. He gave Balak the advice that he did, and that ended up causing us to do an Avera, and that was why we got cursed. And that's just the saddest part, how I guess he was so used to doing evil that he couldn't help it, almost. But I think the message for us is clear, that we're meant to live in this world according to the Torah. We're not really meant to go out and missionize to people. We are meant to be role models. And however people choose to interpret our actions, if you want to bless us, bless us. If you want to curse us, curse us. But regardless, we're not the ones who give out blessings. Hashem's the one who gives out blessings. He taught us how to live. And if we are true and correct role models, the rest of the world will hopefully learn from us. And we will hopefully be able to be the impetus for the pasuk of "V'nivrachu b'cha kol mishpachei sa'adama" to come true. Have a good Shabbos, and I apologize for the background noise and the disruption.